with Tony Simpson, Ryan Champion and Jack Bennion.
Hello everyone, welcome to Absolute Rally, episode 6, season 12. We're over the midway point. It's a happy hump podcast to you, because we're over the halfway point now. Just before we start, if anyone has seen Ryan Champion in the last 4 or 5 days, and you're listening to this in Barbados, can you ask him to check in with us? We think the rum's kicked in. I've seen videos. He did very well on King of the Hill, which I think was won by Geoffrey Panton, with about 0.6 of a second or something with Birdie behind him. Ryan went very well. I think he had a spin. He's put a video out. We've retweeted it. Check it out. But he's gone MIA on us. He was going to be with us this week. I have no idea where he is. So if you see him, just tell him to check in. At least give us 3 rings anyway. Let us know he's safe. Anyway, without further ado, obviously, normally I would say Jack Bennion's on my right. And I'll say hello, Jack Bennion. Hello, Jack Bennion.
Hello, Tony Simpson.
And on my left, I'd say hello, Trevor Agnew.
Hello, Tony Simpson and Jack Bennion.
Because obviously Trev's our floater, as we call them, and that's not something that you struggle to flush. It's just Trev's there because Ryan's not. And if Trev's there and Ryan's there, it normally means that Jack's not. Because when all 4 are on, I don't know whether you noticed, the sound was appalling. We won't do that again. I apologize for the sound quality. I was doing some editing of a few bits and pieces for something else I'm working on, and I listened back to just the audio quality on that. Folks, thank you for persevering with that, because I found the audio quite frustrating. We are working towards it. We've got some new technology coming which will improve those things. So thank you for bearing with us. And also thank you.
Have you got some new technology that will improve what we all say?
No. Not at all, Jack. Not at all, Jack. That will be confined straight to a commode. I realised that there's a large section of our listenership that won't know what a commode is. Trev will. You know what a commode is, don't you, Trev?
Thanks, yeah. I was just getting back to the bean cans and string between them. That's got to be where to go.
Cup and string. Are you familiar with the term commode, Jack Bennion?
Not in this context that I believe you're talking about.
Well, not a commode. I remember this when I was a kid. I realised this isn't rally, folks, and I realised there's a massive rally story we're going to discuss. Bear with me, we'll get there. Basically, it was when somebody couldn't go to the loo, Jack. They kind of had a loo in the bedroom, and they used to be able to take the pan out and take it.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. But you're talking about cup and string, which sounded like a phone type thing.
I was conducting 2 conversations. I was having the one with the listeners where I was setting this up, and I was also just kind of going along with what Trevor was saying with regards to sound quality.
Apologies, that's my inferior intelligence at play there.
I can do that, Jack. I can multitask, albeit not very well. But anyway, boys, I think everybody knows where this podcast's going to go. We talked about this long and hard last week, and I raised the point. And I, you know what, I specifically, and I don't normally listen back to all the programs, to be honest with you, I'm not that self-absorbed, but I did specifically listen back to last week's just so I could listen to what we all said. Now, one of the points I raised obviously was with regards to Chris. I'm still very, very shocked, Jack Bennion.
You're still shocked?
I'm still in shock, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'd agree with that. I'm more surprised that he came. They brought him back last year after they dropped him. I was more surprised at that. But yeah, it's a very... The way in which it was announced was not good. Everyone's obviously very shocked. Everyone's obviously a very big Chris Meek fan, because he's obviously got a big heart. He's very entertaining. Great quotes at the end of the stage, and he's really someone you can kind of get behind, isn't he? But yeah, the way that the announcement came was pretty poor, and it's just caused an outpouring of grief from his fan base, hasn't it?
It has. Now, Trev, I've read the statement a number of times. Now, in other parts of my life, I read a lot of legal documents, and I would hasten to add that I believe that that wasn't a PR release. I think that was something that was drafted perhaps by the powers that be that look after the legalities of what Citroën Racing do.
Yeah, I've saw other speculation on that as well, and it could be right. Who knows at this point? It will come out, no doubt, in the future, depending on what Chris decides to do and say. you know, there's a lot of talk and shocks, right? You know, it was just the way it was done, and clearly a decision which I think David Evans was able to uncover later on by talking to Pierre Boudard. The decision was taken at the very highest level at PSA on Thursday morning last week. It looks as if the press release was rushed. There's no gratitude shown to Chris or to Paul in what they've achieved with a car that wasn't that brilliant, especially in the last couple of years. I think it was more the nature. It upset a lot of people, you're right.
Jack, you guys, you know, obviously there was so much that went on Twitter. But, you know, as much as there was fans out there, I was also interested to see what some of, you know, ex-drivers and you know, people within the sport kind of put. And Marcus Granholm's, I thought, was quite an interesting point.
Yeah.
He has been driving for a lot of years, and but he is making some mistakes and having some big crashes. He can be quick on one rally, but then on the next one, this is boom, boom, boom. The car looked really bad after this one. I think Citroën got a little bit scared. It's not nice for him, and I'm sure it comes as a shock, but you know, manufacturers, they can't afford this kind of thing anymore. I think that's quite a telling point, the anymore bit, isn't it?
Yeah. Just before I speak about that, I just wanted to say, if you've not picked up MN this week, obviously I work for it, so you're going to expect a terrible plug. But for considering we've not actually spoke to Chris Meek this week, he's not been available for comment in multiple pieces that we put forward, you won't find any better insight into this whole situation than from what David Evans has produced in MN this week. And there's a good kind of 5 or 6 pages of other drivers, what they've got to say from Pierre Boudard. There's some other great stuff I'm sure we'll talk about in the podcast later on, but make sure you pick up MN this week, because if I didn't have MN this week, I wouldn't really understand quite a lot of what was going on. And obviously people take to social media these days very quickly and state their opinion as fact, but what you'll see in MN this week is a really fantastic summary of the whole situation, so make sure you go and get it. But what Marcus said, I think, sums up the situation really, really well for me. I think Chris is a likable character. I think he's capable of winning rallies, but he's shown an inability to be able to fix his problems that he's had. He's crashed too many times for a manufacturer that is clearly not as well backed as maybe some of the other manufacturers, and probably not as well as backed as it was when everyone knew it as the best team in the WRC for many, many years. And I think, as much as I do feel sorry for Chris and the situation, I can't really argue with the decision that Citroën have made.
Trev, obviously you've known Chris from years gone by and everything else, and you know, one of the things that you said was, I think it was only last week, and you said repeatedly about other drivers as well, as you know, that ability to be able to perhaps look at it and address a reoccurring issue. I know it sounds like a stupid question, this, and everybody will go, really, is he asking this question? Is it the same problem, or is it just a lot of problems that ultimately come to the same result?
I think the fundamental one's the same problem, this lapse in concentration or loss of focus that happens when everything seems under control at times. Yeah, you know, let's go back to even Mexico last year. If he had been a car with Wider going into that car park, it would have been a big accident there. He wouldn't have won Mexico, probably wouldn't have went on to win Spain, because this might have happened back then. And, you know, as Jack said, he's won five rallies. He is very capable, very, very fast driver. He's done incredibly well when you look at the challenges he's had over his career. Remember, he's never had his own rally car. He's been on a fantastic wage over the last 2 or 3 years, living in Andorra. I'd imagine Paul would be well looked after as well. It hasn't said that he's been bitten by Citroën in the future. Clearly, the relationship has been strained on and off over the last while. How he can make his comeback from this, I think certainly he'd make a bit of progress if he was able to say, right, okay, on the back of what we've done, I've had a look at it, this is where I think it is, this is what I'm working on. Maybe more people will take him a little bit more seriously if he shows that. He's never done that in the past. Chris Meek is his own man. He's super intelligent, as we said before. And he's chosen to go down this route. And you can't really knock him for doing what he does as regards building a career and having the fruits of a career he's had to this point. And he's never going to be short of work going forward. He'll choose what he wants to do after this, and there'll be plenty of people offering. And so I think it's just the frustration that you get, that I get, that Jack gets, and all his fans get. And we think, oh, if he just do that, it'll make us, I don't know, relax a little bit more. But he's got his way of doing it. I'm certainly not one that's going to knock his approach to it. I just get frustrated, that's all.
Is that kind of the armchair management, though? Because, okay, I suppose out of the three of us that are discussing this here, obviously you've been at a level, you've been at world championship level, obviously PWRC champion and stuff like that. It's very, very easy for us on the outside. And when I say us, I mean Jack and myself, who've not been in the eye of the tiger, as it were, you know, the eye of the storm, to kind of say, well, if he just did this, if he just did that, you know, from your point of view, is it a point of, you know, it's not that easy, is it? It's not that easy. You know, there's a lot of experts out there, as Jack said, a lot of people took to Twitter and things like that. And I chose to kind of take a backward step from it and chose not to get involved in any of that because I wanted to just read everything. And even though I've read as much as I can, as Jack just mentioned there, I've also got picked up MN today, and as ever, David Evans done a great piece on it. And you know, I've learned more even today from reading that stuff as well. It's very, very easy, the armchair enthusiast, to kind of say, well, it's easy, you just do this and then you will win. It just doesn't work like that, does it?
Definitely not. You know, and there's people scribing stuff on the internet that should know a lot better. You know, people who know what it takes to win a rally and people who know that it's not pushing the car that's causing a lot of Chris's hassles way back from, well, many, many years ago, but in particular he was sitting since 2013. He did those two rallies in Finland and Australia where he crashed both times quite heavily. You've got to take their hat off to both him and Paul for one main thing, that they're brave. They get back in that car again after some of those big accidents. And, you know, I just don't know what's happening to cause it, and I've got my theories on it, of course, which we spoke about before. But I just go back to this fundamental lapse in concentration that can be worked on. That's the main thing. That, you know, it's happened in lots of different sports where drivers lose confidence, or sports people lose confidence, and they start thinking about it too much. But there is something that's causing a distraction or lapse in concentration or focus, and that's been the killer blow that keeps coming back. And everybody remembers the big accidents, but what about the small accidents where you retire from the leg, or a lot of the stuff that you get away from as well? There's enough information, there's enough data in there to analyse it and come up with a fix.
Jack, obviously you guys have devoted quite a lot to it. Obviously David has wrote quite a lot about it. From your personal point of view, where did you go with the kind of the social media outrage? And we can understand that, as you said before, he's an emotive character, as well we all know, and he does have a way that I suppose he does it his way or no way, and I think that does make people attach themselves to him, and you know, maybe don't, but you know, very black and white character. Where were you with regards to the outrage? Were you outraged?
No, I wouldn't say I was outraged. I have a more general problem with social media in general, that a lot of people these days will hear a decision like that and then announce as fact that Citroën have got no money, or that, you know, something along those lines, where they're not on the inside, they don't know what Carlos Tavares is saying, they don't know what Pierre Boudard is saying, and they like to make kind of sweeping accusations of what's happening, which I really struggle with, because then other people take that as fact as well, and then it kind of spreads around, doesn't it? That's a more general problem I have with social media. As someone who works in the media, I thought it was important to stimulate conversation, if you like, about this. And as soon as the news came out, I did sort of put a tweet out there and say, "And what do you think?" And tried to retweet as many people who responded as possible. And I think there was about 20 or 30 people who kind of stated their thoughts. From what I saw personally, I don't know if you'll both massively disagree with this, but it was a pretty 50-50 split between people who agreed with the decision, people who didn't, or people who thought you know, some people who thought that Chris was lucky to have got to this point still in the seat, and other people who thought that it was absolutely crazy that anyone was questioning him. So, yeah, it was a pretty 50-50 split from what I saw on Twitter, if you take the kind of sensible replies in, on board. I think I stated my views earlier. I think I'm surprised that they brought Chris back last year after they benched him. But I still think he's one of the fastest WRC drivers in the championship. And like Trevor says, if he can, the real problem I have with Chris Meek is that he's not shown that he can fix those problems. We were watching yesterday a clip from 2015, and some people remember this one, some people won't, but there was a shakedown crash in Poland in 2015 where he got 7 seconds into the stage and crashed at the first corner. It's a sweeping left-hander, but not a particularly quick one, and he just dipped the left wheel in a bit too much on the inside and rolled the car, and there was just complete shock from him and from Paul in the car. But that mistake just kind of sums everything up for me. That was 2015, and we're sat here in 2018 now, and Chris is still making those kind of those small mistakes that are adding up to a lot of damage for both the financial aspect of Citroën, but also for the reputation that he has for in his career. So if he can go away at this point and can work on things like this and show that he is working on it, you know, come out and say, I realise I've got this problem, like I think that's what Trevor was kind of urging there, come out and tell us you've got that problem and show that you're willing to work on it, because I don't think anyone doesn't want to see Chris Meek in the World Rally Championship. He's a very entertaining figure. He drives the car very spectacularly. You can guarantee there's no one who'll be pushing hard on a stage in Chris Meek. And when you get those drivers, you know, you can go back and look at thousands of them down the road who have been those committed drivers who will throw everything, all caution to the wind, and absolutely go for it. And when it comes off, it's spectacular. You know, 2016 Finland was one of the best rallies I remember following. And what Chris needs to get back to is he's showing that he can work on his mistakes, because he's not got much time left.
Trev, again, we've just been talking about fantasy kind of, you know, it's easy for us to sit on the sidelines and stuff like that. Let me play this little game, albeit just indulge me a little bit, the pair of you.
We always indulge you every week.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate that. You have no idea how much you really do indulge me, Jack. Anyway, if we were to play, we were six in management, okay? We've looked at what's gone on. We get to this point. Trev, I'll ask you first. Do you believe this was a financial decision? And let me qualify that, because I'm not going down the route what Jack's just been saying, that, you know, this is purely unfounded. This is just a perception, perhaps, of salary versus repair versus the number of shells that are now available versus the number of people who actually want to pay to use those cars.
It could be a consideration, of course. It probably a factor towards it. Just remember, we've already suggested, and Pierre Boudard has mentioned that the decision was taken above the motorsport level and well, right up to the highest echelons of PSA. And that's usually done with accountancy involved. It's done with budgets in mind. And clearly you mentioned as well that there's a duty of care towards people who work for you effectively, and that's probably coming into it as well. So there's maybe lots of different areas I've looked at, and they've used various things in the press release that was rushed out. It'll be interesting to see if anybody else goes into the team. We've been, you know, the rumours are that the budget had been cut for this year, and we'll see if anybody else is going to run in that team for the rest of the year that isn't going to bring money to it.
Jack, I suppose what I've just said to Trev there, if you're... I'll tell you what, before I go there, right, yep. Jack, do you think this is, you know, a bit like what, you know, going back to what Marcus Grönholm said in his tweet that we read out before, do you think this is all, you know, as, you know, the amount of departments that must have been involved in this decision, as Trev's just said there, would be phenomenal these days. Because, you know, everyone always, it's a very flippant throwaway thing which people do talk about. Oh, it's health and safety gone mad and stuff like that. And half the time, it's nothing to do with health and safety. But where I'm going with this is that now there is, you know, Trev said it, there's a duty of care and things like that, but there's a responsibility. And obviously nobody ever really wants responsibility for these things. So there's all these different departments, and all these different departments will have a say to some point, and nobody wants the ultimate responsibility if it keeps going wrong.
Yeah. I imagine there was a lot of departments involved in making a decision. I don't know if I buy the safety argument of this. There's not a WRC driver out there who hasn't had a crash as big as the one Chris Meek had. You know, the argument that he's having lots of them. Okay. You know, I'll take that on board. Chris has had a few shunts. But you know, these cars are designed to go very quickly, and they're also designed to crash very quickly. And we saw from the Portugal crash, the car stood up very well, absorbed the impact. You know, you're getting onto a very dangerous line for me there if you're declaring that's a safety thing, because then you're kind of arguing that all rally drivers are unsafe, really, in a way. You know, okay, Chris is maybe more likely to crash than some of the other drivers. But saying that it's a safety decision is only one very small aspect of that to me. And, you know, it's a very difficult situation to get into there in terms of how the safety plays out, isn't it, for a driver?
Trev, I know you've kind of been out of the top line for a while. I can certainly remember, I think, you know, in my limited background, I can remember being at VW UK, and we used to be given an information booklet for the event. And the back page was always with regards to if an incident happened and basically what we had to say and how we had to behave and all those things. That's 16 years ago now. Okay, and now I own businesses and stuff like that, and I know now even what I have to give staff who work for me, you know, company handbooks, this, that, and everything else. You know, effectively, Chris is still, and Paul, of course, we're employees, and I just wonder whether this, you know, the whole thing that we can't compare it to yesteryear now, because it is so corporate, you know, even, you know, I can imagine, you know, M Sport, even the way they run now, okay, obviously it's M Sport 4, but, you know, Citroen PSA Group and everything else, they are going to have kind of company handbooks and things, you know, no matter whether you're working on the production line or whether you're driving, you know, a rally car or a rally cross car for them, they're going to have these things. And if there's something not quite working, there will be something in that handbook that somebody will go to and go, actually, do you know what? We can't keep doing this. This is because of this. And this leaves us wide open for this.
It could be, you know, it could be the fact that there's a mango car in front of the papers again. It doesn't do the image of Citroën and a lot of good. People are speculating that as well. Bottom line is, we don't know. The one thing I was considering was, the 2017 car we know is clearly strong. I wonder if it had been a 2016 car, would have been as strong, or was the new regulations in the way that guys have completely redesigned the car that hadn't been done in a while, would that have been a contributor to having that car as safe as it was for those guys? That's the thing that I'd considered.
I don't want to kind of speculate and everything. I know we kind of have at the beginning, but it has been done to death, and I'm really, really aware of that. And, you know, if you listen to this podcast, you've probably followed stuff on Twitter and everything else, and we're kind of we're covering quite a lot of what's already been done. This is just kind of us kind of spitballing it and everything else. Jack, there's a story that you guys, obviously as part of this and also as part of Autosport as well, I noticed today that Toyota and Hyundai are supposedly interested in perhaps talking to Chris.
Yeah, absolutely. They've been quick to come out, actually. Alan Panas and Tommy Mäkinen from Hyundai and Toyota, respectively. Not a surprise, really, I don't think. I think there's going to be a little bit of, initially, I think there's going to be some people showing interest in a driver who's just been, you know, just been sacked from another team. Whether he's picked up by one of those guys, I'm not sure. Hyundai's, Alan Panas's comments, I thought very interesting. One comment he said, referring to Chris, he said he's like Jari Matti Latvala, a driver who's not so consistent, but will win you one or two rallies a year. I think that's quite flat out, actually. I was quite surprised by another team boss coming out and saying that. But yeah, I think it's less likely that it'll go to Hyundai based on what Alan Panas said. less information from Tommy, just a kind of, yeah, we're interested in talking to him about a future deal. So, you know, if you're a Chris Meek fan, it's not all over. There's other team principals out there who are looking at signing Chris. And yeah, I think, you know, I still believe that Chris has to show he's willing to change a little bit and to drive in a slightly different way for him to be signed by another team. But obviously that'll be discussed by the team and Chris, and that'll be involved in the contract talks moving forward, I'm sure.
Trev, that do you know what, that Jack very, very nicely led us by the hands for exactly where I was going to go with this. You know, again, what you've done and everything else, but putting you on the same side as us for a brief moment, Trev, is that we've just discussed that obviously there's stuff that maybe Chris needs to look at and work on and stuff like that. Those guys who study data of all their drivers and study events and watch onboards and everything else, they will surely have come to a conclusion, okay, we know Chris can win rallies, but we need to be looking at this. Now, Is that gonna put the mockers on a potential deal where they go, do you know what, we just don't need this. We just don't need to be dealing with this.
I'll go back to what I said. You know, what you want is somebody who can win rallies. And there are very few of those guys that will win you three or four rallies a year. So you would definitely want to be talking to Chris Meek if you needed someone to win your rallies. And most teams will go down that route and they want to do it. But you'll want to see some evidence that he's taken on board what we just talked about, what Jack summarized, what I was trying to say earlier. If I was a team owner, I'd say, okay, fantastic. We know you've got the speed. We know you're brilliant. We know you bring a great following. And we just want to see that you're taking on board the fact that you just don't wreck a car, get out of it, and give me another one, I'll go and wreck it. So you can acknowledge that you can do things a little bit differently. That's all it would take, I think, if he was serious about it and he wasn't just paying lip service to it.
Get connected with Absolute Rally. Check out the website at absoluterally.co.uk. Find us on Facebook, Absolute Rally. Follow us on Twitter at @absolute_rally. This is the Absolute Rally podcast.
There was a couple of things that happened on social media which did kind of make me smile, and I don't mean taking any kind of pleasure, but there was, obviously there's always humour as well, and I don't know whether it was engineered, Jack, I don't know whether you've seen this one at all, but the same day or the day after, Citroën Racing followed Hayden Paddock.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether that was engineered or whether somebody had played with fonts or whatever it may be, whatever you've got to do that. But it did give me a wry smile.
Yeah, definitely. No, I think that did happen, didn't it? I don't think that was Photoshop. Unless right. That's someone being very clever and conning us all. But yeah. Jokes aside, Citroën have, you know, they've got to seriously be looking at another driver. Or, you know, I think there's a bigger question here. Do we think Citroën are coming back next year?
Well, this is the big thing, Jack, and this is where in my mind as well. You were talking about the finance side of things earlier, Tony. You know, what they've done this year is absolutely no way they were going to win the manufacturers, the approach they took this year. And you'd have thought the manufacturer is the most important thing rather than the driver's title. There's no evidence to say that they're going to do it any differently next year, and this could be just the rollout of them pulling the pin. I hope it isn't.
It's a tough one. You know, I talked a lot about it last week. I think in terms of Chris and you know what he was doing in the team, and you know, like I said, it was, you know, they're definitely not trying to win the manufacturers championship this year. And if you're not trying to win the manufacturers championship, you must be trying to win rallies, and therefore Chris Meek's the best person for you. So getting rid of him is a real shock to me. There's only two ways I can see this going now, personally, and that is either Citroën pull out of the WRC, or they go and sign Sebastian Ogier. And there's a story in MN sort of insinuating that may be where Pierre Boudard would like to go and chase Sebastian Ogier. I think that's going to be a big story moving forward, because for me, that's, if Citroën don't go and sign someone like Sebastian and maybe even bring in another driver to help them move forward, it's going to be, we're going to be getting towards the end of the year where Citroën don't have a rally winner in their ranks, and to expect them to come back after that would be very surprising for me.
When you say someone like Sebastian, it could only be Ogier, couldn't it?
Sorry, I meant Sebastian and someone else.
Right, okay.
So your likes of Hayden Paddon or someone like that, because you know they've got Chris Meek and maybe Mads Osberg. But you know, I think if OJ is coming in and you want to win the Manufacturers Championship, you know, I think you've got to think seriously about who else you kind of couple with him, and I think they may need another person in there.
I think he meant Craig Breen there as opposed to Chris Breek.
And
again, I suppose, what do we dare kind of, you know, I said this last week, and I said it to Ryan a couple of weeks ago. Is it too early to start speculating about
Never
next year's
early.
Drivers? And yet here we are 2 weeks later.
Where
does that, you know, cards on the table. Do we think now if you know, no matter what, I think Mads is always going to bring budget to a team. I think that's the way it's going to be now, isn't it, for Mads? I think is that a fair assumption? Would you have that, boys?
Well, number one, are we assuming that Chris Meek isn't going to be back at Citroën if they have a program next year? All I've ever saw anywhere was that he was dropped for the year.
There's a little bit in MN, Trevor.
Right.
It's a Q&A with Pierre Boudart, and he says, he's asked, this is the end of Citroën and Chris Meek, and he says yes. I think we cannot tell today. After saying yesterday, we'll stop with him. We have to be realistic. It was, as you can imagine, a difficult decision, and I will not say one day after this decision, we will see you next year. No, I cannot say this. So it sounds to me like the partnership might well be over reading that.
Yeah, I can imagine with Chris's frustrations and the way he handles things sometimes that probably happened on the phone call, but we don't know. Number one. Second thing is, if he has a bit of time to think about it, is there an option for him to go back if he wanted to? So everybody's jumping on the assumption he's not there, which is pretty accurate goal, I suppose. But you know, let's look and see where else he can go on the back of it.
Well, you know, I think the only two options was realistically, I don't see him going back to you know, obviously he's got he worked at M Sport. I don't think that's an option. I don't see him at M Sport. I think Malcolm was asked, wasn't he, Jack? He's quite happy with his driver lineup. I just don't see that happening even for next year. You look at obviously what Alan Panas said. I'm still not convinced that writes off a potential deal, Jack, I'll be honest with you. I think it would make an interesting conversation piece at the beginning of a contract negotiation.
Yeah. Do you think if you look at Hyundai, you're assuming Nerville's nailed on. Mikkelsen, do you think Panas would say that Mikkelsen's worthy of winning one or two rallies a year? I'd probably say Panas does think that.
I think he does. Yep.
And Mikkelsen's less likely to crash.
Yeah, no. Listen, Jack, I'll have that, but you know, I'm not going to dare speculate and say, well, you know, did you drop Andreas and bring in Chris or whatever? But it still hasn't quite clicked, has it, for Andreas? I think they thought, bearing in mind how last year ended, that by now that it might have clicked for him again. Well, it clicked last year with a very limited time in the car, and yet it seems to have kind of been turned arse about face almost.
Yes, I love that. I think we've expected more from Andreas, haven't we, than what we've seen this year.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I'm going now. What I thought was interesting about Alan Panas said was that now this has opened up, and please put me straight on this, Jack, because I'm quoting directly from MN. Yeah. There's that, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to you know, if talks weren't going on with the likes of Danny Sordo or Hayden Paddon, because they certainly won't want seven-round deals next year.
Yeah, no, definitely. I cannot see a shared car at Hyundai for Sordo and Paddon next year. I think, for a start, both of those drivers are too good to have a shared seat. I think they're both good enough to have permanent seats. I'd be very surprised if Citroën isn't going after either speaking to both of them or have targeted one of them for a return. And, you know, I did have a bit of a wry smile. You know, you were saying before about some of the jokes you saw on Twitter and stuff, Tony. I did think in my head, are we on our way to a return to the late 2000s for Citroën with Danny Sordo and Sebastian Ogier in the team? It's like Frenchman and a Danny Sordo would be quite an interesting partnership.
I think it would be. I think obviously and Trev, you know a lot about how deals work and stuff, probably better than Jack and I. But you know, obviously Hayden's got quite strong connections with Hyundai New Zealand, and that's all part of the gig, obviously, for what he does down there for promoting young drivers, and obviously the AP4 Plus car that they've built and everything else. And I'm not too sure how big a market, you know, Citroën, you know, New Zealand is for Citroën, for instance. And, you know, there's bigger things at play there, isn't there?
Yeah, from a commercial point of view, make more sense for the Spanish Citroën importer and the sponsors that Danny can usually get his hands on to bring money to the team. That would probably happen quicker than it would with Hayden, I'd imagine, simply because of what you said, the size of the Citroën market in New Zealand, I wouldn't imagine be that big. So, yeah, those are the things that have to be factored in. The business deals, the original equipment deals can be done. And that's something that you can also put on the table when you're in to negotiate, especially if times are, you know, if the budget has been cut at Citroën. But again, you can make these decisions right up to board level, as we saw before within that team, where people at the very highest level of the company have preferred one driver over another. We talk about the two Sebs, and that's an influence as well. And maybe they'll be able to find more money at that point, as we've speculated before, to get Ogier in.
Well, isn't that right? And I'm going to use a football analogy for Mike Shaw, open paddock soccer, right? That's especially for you, Mike. Right, I'm going to use a football analogy. I'm going to use one from dare I say it, my team. I support Everton for my sins. Last summer, we re-signed Wayne Rooney. I didn't want it to happen. I don't think he should go back, and I don't think he was ever going to be anywhere the player that everyone thought he was going to be. Just age, the way the team was, and everything else. Is this one of those kind of moments where, you know, Seb going back to Citroën? It's not the same Citroën. It's, you know, not the same engineers, I don't think. It's not the same, you know, team management and stuff like that, which could be great, but ultimately it's, I think, from the outside looking in, it's a little bit of a shadow of what that was.
Jack?
Any of you can take that. Either of you can take
Jack
that.
Jack
Bear? I can take that. There's two ways to look at it. A lot of the problems that Sebastien Ogier had when he was at Citroën last was with management and with the team that was there at the time. So you could look at that as a positive, with a lot of new members in the team, new management, all that kind of stuff. Might be like a fresh start for Sebastien rather than going back to a negative type thing. But the thing for Sebastien is, as we know, he will only go to a team that he thinks can win a championship. And if Citroën aren't displaying, that they've moved forward enough by the end of the year with their car, that Sebastien thinks he can win the championship in it, if they don't provide proof to Sebastien that, you know, they've got good funding and they're willing to put the money in, then he won't go. And, you know, I think there was something he saw in M Sport, something special that he saw there that led him to go. He knew they didn't have the finance at the time to really compete with the other manufacturers on a financial, from that perspective. But he saw something there. And I think, you know, Sebastien needs to see something. He knows he's the best driver in the championship, I would have thought. And he knows that he needs to have the best package possible in order to do that. So Citroën have got to prove by the end of the year that they've got a package that Sebastien Ogier can win a championship in, or he won't go. It's as simple as that.
Right. Have you got anything else you want to add to that, Trevor Agnew, or do we draw a line on
that? I think it's going to be fascinating. Whatever time Chris Meek hangs his helmet up and is not involved in the World Rally Championship anymore, there's definitely scope for an autobiography, and we'll find out what all the details are behind it. So that's something to look forward to.
I think so. A friend of mine said to me when it came out, and he did it. He did it in not a great impression of an Irish accent. He said, "It looks like I picked the wrong day to open up my Citroën dealership in Ireland." Yeah. It's kind of like, yeah. I wonder, you know, is there, you know, in all seriousness, obviously that used to be the term that people used to, you know, win on Saturday, sell on Monday. Excuse me. I'm not entirely sure that that's still the case. But, you know, do you think there was people buying Citroen in Ireland because of Chris Meek?
That's a good question. And I'd love to be able to tell you here and there, give you evidence of it happening. And I don't know is the bottom line. But I'm sure there would be people loyal to Citroen.
Tweet us.
Tweet us.
If you're exactly. An Irishman who's bought a Citroen.
Because of Chris Meek. Not because he was necessarily the salesman. Or Craig Green. You know, and it... Or other co-drivers are available as well, of course. So there you go. There you go. Right, boys. I'm really, really conscious that I don't want to just do the whole thing because we're going to talk about Chris probably for the remainder of the year, whatever it may be. I don't want to cover kind of old ground, which I just want it to be positive. I want to, you know, the next time we talk about Chris is perhaps he's done a test with somebody or perhaps he goes and does a Dakar event or whatever it may be, because I really believe Chris can go and do stuff like that. And maybe that might be how he scratches his itch. I really, really don't know. But anyway, there's a few bits and pieces of admin I want to get to. Boys, are you quite happy to move on from this?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, a bit of admin. Right, first, I didn't start the top of the program with it. And Jack, you will love
this.
It's a
stat from Gary Boys.
It's a stat from Gary Boyd. Right. Are you ready for this one?
Yep.
Are you ready? Right. This is a whopper. This is an absolute whopper of a monumental scale. Right. In answer to Jack Benyon's question, Volvo recce cars. Yes, they have done enough kilometres to get to the moon and back. In fact, you could say the Swedish machinery sent some Finns and Norwegians to the moon one way. Just the kilometres driven by Mika Hirvonen and Jari-Matti Latvala, Marcus Grönholm, Mads Osberg and Henning Solberg would have covered the 38,400 kilometres to the moon. All the other M-Sport drivers bought the Volvos back again. Apparently. There you go. And Rich Milner helped him with that, our friend Grizzly Rich.
Fair play.
So that's
thanks,
proper. Ross.
Thanks for answering my question in such a... such a brilliant way. Yeah, comprehensive. Yeah.
Well, he always does. He always does. Now, he didn't let us down with a bit of a fact as well. I'm going to share this one with you. And this is quite apt because of things moving forward with regards to perhaps drivers coming back to WRC as well. You could pose this as a question. Gary actually tells me how I could possibly set this one up. I like that. Thanks, Gary. What is the significance? I know it's brilliant. What is the significance? He's done three interviews and now he's telling me how to do it. I love it. I love you guys. What is significance? That's the reason why, because I can't read it. What is significance about the number 43 in the WRC, boys?
Ken Block.
Oh, look at that, straight in. Jack Benyon was still scratching his plums. most obvious answer is Ken Block's race number. That is the most obvious answer. Are you ready for this?
No.
And do you want me to tell you why it's 43? I didn't know this. This is a whopper, by the way.
I think I might know this.
Ooh.
Ken Block's race number. Do you want me to tell
Jack
you?
Jack knows. Let Jack
know. No,
knows.
I said I think I know.
Oh, I think we should test you.
Go on. No. Come on, Jack. Step up. Dead air isn't great.
No,
I'm going to give you one. It's the size of his shoes because he sold DC shoes. It was his size of his boots or his wrist boots. Something to do with that, is it?
No. No. It's a good effort, though. No. You know what? It's a cracking effort. And do you know what? You almost flirted with the answer, albeit with just a wink. There was no touching. Oh. Ken Block's race number, D and C being the fourth and the third letter of the alphabet.
There you go.
There you go, that's where it came from. I didn't know that.
It's not what I thought it was either, so
Gary Boyd, virtual high five to you. Virtual high five to you. Thank you for that, Gary, as ever. By the way, we've had a couple of people contribute via Patreon. Thank you so much, because it does make a difference, and we are trying to make these programs, as I say, we are running Unliveried. If you can get involved, by all means, get in contact with us via the normal channels. Right, we mentioned it off air. I might do a mid-season quiz. If you've got any eggs to hear, Jack Bengen, Trevor Agnew, Ryan Champion, and perhaps one other, get bamboozled by my questions, let us know. If this has got legs, I might do a mid-season quiz. Also, one other thing before we go any further as well. iTunes, folks, we have picked up some new reviews on iTunes. It does help. It's dead, dead easy. If you just log on, 5 stars always makes a difference if you believe it's 5 stars. If you can leave us a nice comment, that always helps as well. So there you go. A little bit of admin there, boys.
I can't believe more people aren't telling us how brilliant we are.
Do you know what?
I actually... There could be a good reason for that.
Yeah, there could be a very good reason. Although I have to say somebody did send me something very, very nice, and I'm not going to say it is because it would cause some embarrassment, but they said some very, very flattering things about our podcast and how we
do things.
Was it Chris Meek? And, it wasn't Chris Meek, no. It wasn't. It wasn't Chris, and it wasn't anyone from Scotland. A couple of bits and pieces. A little bit upset. I've had a few conversations with Chris Ingram via text over the last few weeks. Again, young man who I've known for quite some time. But Jack, you guys obviously done a piece today as well with regard to he's missing out on Greece. Obviously, that does affect the fact that he's not going to be able to perhaps fight for that championship now. He is hoping to be back later this year. Have you got much on Chris at all?
I think the intent to do the Acropolis was there, as we've heard the cars there. So I think there was definitely an intention of trying to do the event. He's obviously just been he's just fallen a little bit short of his recovery. It does say in MN that his overall championship's kind of over for the RC. But I think this year he's focusing more on the under 28 title anyway, wasn't he, Tony? So a comeback in Rome. Which is July, if I'm not mistaken. So hopefully he'll come back for the ERC under 28 round. The next one is the Rally de Rome Capitale in July. So yeah, hopefully we'll see Chris back. And it's been really disappointing to see Chris not being out there and not competing and not doing the Acropolis is not great, because he would have got some notes from that ready for next year. So all the best to Chris. Hope he comes back soon. And we'll be waiting to see him out in Italy, I'm sure.
Happy days. Boys, believe it or not, we're at that bit of any other business. Would you believe it?
Okay.
Yeah. All right. The overwhelming response was phenomenal. Did you prepare any other businesses for this week?
Yep.
See, Jack Bengen's right in. Do you know what? As Jack put his hand up first, like an eager puppy that he is, you can go first, Jack Bengen.
Okay. I've got two little bits of any other business. I'll start with probably maybe. I'm not going to say what I was going to say. I'll start with the first one, and it's Rob Duggan, who I think is brilliant. Was the 2016 Junior British Rally Champion. He's going to do Donegal this year in an R5 car, which I'm pretty excited about, because unfortunately he spent the whole of last year and most of this year doing one-off outings in a Ford Escort. And if you've got a few minutes on YouTube, go and fire up some onboard and some outside sort of videos of Rob in an Escort, because there's not many more spectacular things to watch than him in a high-powered sequential gearbox Escort. So definitely go and seek that out. But yeah, he's getting his R5 debut and he's going to do Donegal. So although it'll probably be a little bit off pace to start with, it'll be he's never even sat in an R5 car before. So going to Donegal, where all the Irish tarmac boys are trying to fight for the win and are going balls out for the win. He's going to struggle to fight with their pace initially, but I think by the third day should be there or thereabouts. And the other thing is, I think we all think that Chris Meek is fast enough to be WRC champion. Would you both agree with that?
Fast enough, yeah.
He's fast enough. Would you agree?
Fast enough, okay. Yeah. Fast enough, yeah.
So there's only two drivers who are Chris Meek's current age who have won the WRC Championship. So, Absolute Rally listeners, tweet in. Who are they? Gary Boyd.
Oh, I've got one straight away.
Gary Boyd, you're not allowed, because
I've got one straight away.
Good for you. Are you an Absolute Rally listener?
Sometimes I am. To be honest with you, it depends when I think back, was it actually any good? And I think, no, actually, it wasn't. I never listened to it back.
When you hit your big red Trump button to stop the recording, you can tweet Absolute Rally with your answer.
I will do. Okay, I'll do that. I'll do that.
It's two.
I know. Well, I've definitely got one. Without a shadow of a doubt, I've got one. So there you go. Trevor Agnew.
Any other business, because somebody mentioned to me again, is my commitment to you, which you made a couple of weeks back, to put together a little sort of a draft for the F2 special. I'm going to commit to do that by this time next week.
Oh.
What?
Okay.
I'm not saying you should start it this time next week, but I'm gonna do that.
Okay. Well, we need to talk off air.
Speaking about that, to change the subject very slightly, there is an onboard doing the rounds at the minute online, and I'll.
Oh, I've seen it. McGann.
Yes. Have you retweeted this for Absolute Rally? And I've not seen it.
No, I've seen it somewhere else. But by all means, if you've got it, and I'll
send it over. There's an onboard from a gent in from a rally in Germany, I believe it was last weekend, the Saxon Rally, and it's the McGann. And it sounds mega, and it looks even better. To be fair, he's a proper pedaler, whoever he is.
A mega McGann.
A mega McGann.
A mega McGann. Yeah.
Mega McGann. Love it.
If you're the man driving that car, send in. Hmm.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be good, wouldn't it? Yeah. Unless is he German?
I think he might be funny.
I've got nothing against Germans, by the way. It's just in case he doesn't speak English. Just, I'll be honest with you, rudimentary German's not great. If anybody else is, then they could interview them. But then again, it'd all be going out in German.
They could put the whole podcast into Google Translate.
They could do, couldn't they? Yeah, that'd be interesting. That'd be interesting. Following on from our coaching bits and pieces that Trev and I did, and following on from some of the other bits and pieces of coaching, my any other business, I'm actually doing a piece next week. It might not go into next week's podcast, but it will probably go into the week after's podcast with Matt Edwards, who was on the show the other week, who also does quite a lot of driver coaching and stuff like that. So we're actually going down to see what he's doing, doing some driver coaching, and we're going to record a little bit of a feature on it and how he does it, because he kind of does it in a lot more of a scientific way, I guess, than what most do. So I'm not going to say too much. We've spoke about it, and all being well, that'll be getting recorded next week. We'll be in a forest somewhere, and it'll all be put together, and it should go out in the following week's podcast. There you go.
You should ask him to see his video collection while you're down there. I should clarify very quickly. You should ask to see his rally video collection while you're there. It's got pretty much every season review of every championship in the world since 1928.
I'm just glad that's not some kind of euphemism that, you know. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Can I see your
as good as he is at driver coaching? He's very good at getting the best out of your Patterson's type DVD, where you've just got someone driving through a stage at a very slow speed, and he kind of amends the Patterson notes, and he's pretty good at that as well. So he's got lots of onboards and lots of videos. So yeah, that'd be another interesting topic to discuss with him on the coaching side of things, I guess.
Do you just want to go down to this forest next week, Jack? And I? Do you want to go?
I'm
and
having
do
enough
it?
Trouble doing my own job. I don't need to do yours as well.
Mine as well. Thank you. That's charming.
How was Monaco, Jack?
It was sensational, thanks, Trevor. But it was full of beeps.
Oh.
What, people tooting their own at you?
Yeah,
mopeds.
Well, we thought. Hang on a minute, Jack Bengen. You met. You seen the best. You were at your favourite ever motorsport event. Or something, and you met your hero, or something like that, wasn't it? That you put out there.
I didn't meet him.
We were all a bit shocked. We went, "Whoa, hang on a minute, Jack."
I stood close to Dwayne Wade, my favourite ever basketball player.
Oh,
Scott Newman, tweet in, please, and tell these people who Dwayne Wade is. Scott Newman's a big Absolute Rally listener, but also a big basketball fan, and we often have a bit of banter about the NBA. So he can tweet in and tell you how good Dwayne Wade is.
How tall is he?
I think he's 6'3". He's not one of the tallest. He's a guard. So,
did you know the Harlem Globetrotters were in London on Monday?
I didn't. No.
They were the O2. A friend of mine went to see them. I think they won.
Very good.
And we descend into just idle chit chat towards the end. It's still going.
Oh,
yeah, right. Yeah. It's
finished.
Yeah, I know. No. We just crack on. Normally, I do something quite slick, if you remember when we get towards the end. So, let's just leave it in. He can start us Wednesday afternoon. Yeah, we are actually going to do another bit because despite at the top of the podcast me saying, can somebody please message Ryan Champion? Ironically, as if by the power of the gods, like somebody had listened to it, who was listening to it live, I had a text message from Ryan Champion.
He's finished the room tour, that's what it is.
Do you want me to say, I'll read the text. Right, where are you? Sorry mate, I ended up out on a boat.
That's horrible.
Obviously you did. Yeah, so he's going to be joining us later on or tomorrow. So by the time you get this, it'll all be put together and it'll be one podcast anyway. So we're not going to finish here. We're going to go to a little break, but we are going to come back with Ryan Champion and hopefully we'll do a little bit more next week. But Trev, we'll be back same time, same place next week, won't you, Trev?
Yeah, I'm in Munich, but it should be okay because we're an hour ahead of there, I think.
Ironically, if you speak to somebody that's German and that in causing jet, maybe that's where we go. Jack Benyon, are you for the same time, same place next week?
I'd love to, Tony, if you'll have me back.
Oh, of course. Hugs and cuddles. Folks, we're going to go to a little break and then we'll come back with our man on a mission. Our man who's a man from Del Monte, but with driving gloves. Ryan Champion.
This is the Absolute Rally Podcast with Tony Simpson, Jack Benyon and Ryan Champion. Listen to more episodes via absoluterally.co.uk. Follow us on Twitter at @absolute_rally. Become part of the community at facebook.com/absoluterally. And if you like what you hear, help us make more episodes. Become a patron at patreon.com/absoluterally. This is the Absolute Rally Podcast.
Welcome back to Absolute Rally. The SOS was indeed returned. We found Ryan Champion. From the beginning of the podcast to the end of the podcast, we found Ryan Champion. Hello, Ryan Champion.
Hello.
We missed you. I actually put out a bit of a thing right at the top of the podcast, even though we were recording it. I just thought I'd do it for fun and larks. And mid podcast, you text me saying, right, what time do you want me? So there you go. You're obviously subterranously listening to what we were doing.
Yeah. I wasn't completely lost in the Caribbean. So I am here eventually.
Well, there was a couple of pictures. We retweeted the little walk around your car. We like that. And then we retweeted some of the pictures. And then I seen some of the pictures on a boat. And then I seen some of the pictures of rum. And I went, well, it started off with rallying and all of a sudden it spiraled into rum and boats. So I thought, well, it could be MIA. It could be quite literally MIA. But no, I'm glad you're back with us, mate. I'm glad you're back with us. A couple of things before we go any further. We've done Chris Meek to death at the top of the podcast. If you can add anything to it, I'd be surprised, with all due respect, because I don't know what angle we didn't cover, but what were your thoughts on it and were you surprised?
I'm sure you've discussed it from all areas. I mean, firstly, shocked at the sudden decision, disappointed, maybe not completely surprised. I don't know if the relationship's been fabulous between Chris Meek and Pierre Bodard of late, and you know, unfortunately the results haven't been coming. Having said that, Chris, with all due respect to Craig Breen and to Mats Osberg, if he ends up in the team for the rest of the year, but Chris is the one who's going to bring the victories, and if Citroën wanted to win rallies this year, then Chris Meek was the man. We understand that Portugal was very, very difficult for them to take, but it would have been nice if they'd seen faith in him through to the end of the season at least, because I think all the effort he's put in for Citroën over the years, all the development mileage, then he deserved that, and he at least deserved a thank you in their terse press release that sacked him.
Yeah, we were discussing that, and again, you know, we're not going to cover old ground. Obviously, it was just good to get your thoughts on it. Was that the press release was very unlike a press release? It was very much an internal document. Well, not like an internal document, but I think it was very official. I don't think it was drafted by a PR team. I think it was very much maybe a legal team or something like that.
Yeah, well, I think we know that decisions in Citroën have been made by... It's not a rally team anymore. It's not like an M Sport where all the decisions have been taken in the best interest of the rally team. We know that there's corporate politics at play and decisions have been made upstairs at board level. And whenever that happens within motorsport, it doesn't lead to the best results normally. You know, you need a rally team or even a racing team that's dynamic, that makes its own decisions and is to a degree unaffected at board level. But I don't think we see that at Citroën, and that's maybe reflected in that that press release.
Where do you see, personally, just quickly, where do you see a future for Chris at the moment?
I mean, that's obviously a hard question to answer, as I'm sure it has been with when you've discussed it. There's no obvious route at the minute. Chris is a very determined character. He's been in this position several times before. He's come through it with a drive. So, you know, let's hope that that obviously he can speak to the other teams and maybe do something for next year. It'd be difficult to see him back in WRC this year because that would require money, not just some money, an awful lot of money. You know, let's hope we can get a deal for next year, but it's going to be tough. I mean, if we're talking honestly about it, it's going to be very, very tough for him to find a seat in WRC again.
Yeah. Well, fingers crossed. As I say, I think we made reference to some of the tweets that kind of went around, and there were some very tongue-in-cheek ones as well, I think, with regards to, you know, I wonder if anybody's going to open a Citroën dealership over in Ireland over the next few weeks. That's going to be a tough job for them, that type of thing. But one that did kind of, I think obviously they did it for Larks as well, but will Rallycross straight away, Chris, can we talk? And, you know, maybe that will be a route for him, you know, now that's becoming a bit more professional and everything else. But as you say, Chris is very much his own man. And I think he very much still sees himself as a WRC driver that can win events. So I'm sure, right, when you're back in reality as opposed to drinking rum and paddling your feet, we'll discuss it more. But speaking of drinking rum and paddling your feet, you are still in Barbados. You did King of the Hill. You failed us. I'll be honest with you, we all thought you were going to win. Where did it go wrong, Ryan Champion?
It went wrong pretty quickly, actually. The car just fell down on power on the first run, and the guys had a look in between, couldn't see anything amiss. But it was definitely down on power. And after the second one, we found a split turbo horse. Cured that, and then driver error on the next one. Really, I clipped a rock and bent the steering. Albeit we didn't lose a lot of time, and actually the time we set was good enough, I think, for second or third in Group A and in the top 10 overall. So it wasn't so bad considering. And then the last run, I tried to make amends for the whole day and spun.
Right. So, okay.
But to be honest, I was treating it as a test. You know, I hadn't done any real mileage in the car, and we know where we are with the car. Speed seems to be there or thereabouts. Had a good recce, been over the stages, got to know them, particularly the ones that were in the dark. So we'll finish off our recce this afternoon, and good to start the rally tomorrow evening.
Good man, Jack Bengian. Has got some points that he would like me to make on his behalf to you, because he can't be here at this particular point. And Jack Bengian likes a livery, as you like a livery. He's been somewhat troubled by the changes to your livery. Would you like to explain the changes to your livery on the Mitsubishi EV9?
Quite happily. I have a local sponsor called Courtesy, who sell various brands and have a hire car company, and they're using my car to cover all their brands. So they're the sponsor, and they can put on the car what they want, quite honestly.
You listen to this, Jack. You listen to this, Jack. You don't know the blood, sweat and tears it takes. There you go. I was on your side.
And just to point out, you know, he probably doesn't like the Nissan stickers on a Mitsubishi, but it is all the same company nowadays, Jack Bengian.
Oh, sit down, Jack. Sit down. Right. So, big one starts tomorrow.
Yeah, it does. So,
the stages, are they fairly repetitive year on year?
Similar. Yeah, there's certainly sections of the stages that are quite similar. But having said that, it's 9 years since I was last here, so you know, there's a lot that I don't remember. But tomorrow evening we'll start with a side-by-side super special. Do you remember them in the WRC?
When they were the
latest, greatest thing, and still great for spectators. There's one here in Barbados. So we start with four laps around the Vaucluse Rally Sprint stage here with jumps and bridges and all the rest of it that those stages feature. So that's run in the dark tomorrow night. So quite a spectacular start to the rally for the spectators, and then the stages proper start on Saturday morning.
Obviously, you've got plenty of world cars there and R5s and weird and wonderful things as well. What's the obviously they're like a tail out. Have we got many rear wheel drive boys out there entertaining the crowds?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like you said, this is a rally that really welcomes everything. So at the front of the field, you've got really, it's dominated by the 2-litre WRC cars. Paul Bird's back out in action here. Paul Bird's had a couple of wins in the past. Jeffrey Panton's been the winner recently. They have very similar focuses. Rob Swan in his S12, local hero Roger Skeet in his S12 as well. So a lot of good cars at the front. Roger Hill in a lovely Corolla World Rally car. We've got Roger Skeet's son, Dane Skeet, in a genuine 306 Maxi. So beautiful thing. But in the two-wheel drive category, you've got everything from a 306 Maxi to a rear-wheel drive modern Fiesta, Escort, and then the super starlets that they have locally. They're just lightweight and incredibly quick. Through to BMW M3's Escorts for all the sideways action. And we're running in Group A, so modified four-wheel drive, if you like, but we've also got the R5 cars to contend with. So realistically, it'll be a tall order to beat the R5 cars, but, it's a rally at the end of the day, and the conditions have been a bit showery. And when it's showery here, when people say to you the roads are like ice when it rains, you just take it with a pinch of salt. They are like ice here when it rains. So if it rains during the rally, that'll throw up some unexpected results as well, I'm sure.
Done the recce. Are we excited? I know it sounds like a stupid question. It's a while since you've done a rally, apart from that little one that you did in Africa, which obviously doesn't count as like a single venue. This is the first time you've done probably a staged tarmac rally for, I'm trying to think. Ooh. That'll be a good question.
Yeah, well, I was trying to think that as I was making notes again. I was trying to think, when was the last time I actually made pace notes? I have no idea without thinking back. It was a while ago anyway. So back on a tarmac pace note event. Looking forward to it. And the stages that we do in the dark, we were wrecking in the dark last night, and that was quite nice to get a good feel for them. So they are short stages here. They're short and sharp, but 24 stages over the weekend. So there is a lot that can happen. And we've got a lot of good local opposition, and they obviously know the stages well. So we'll do our best and see where we can get. Let's try and get in the top 10. That would be the aim, to get in the top 10. And if we can get in the top couple in Group A, that would be great.
Good man. We will regurgitate all the bits and pieces. We've already put some of the videos out and some pictures and stuff. And I've noticed that lovely Bex is also doing some bits and pieces over there. We've shared some of her bits and pieces of you as well. Many other familiar faces over there for you?
Oh, yeah, certainly quite a few. I think there's over 40 British and European crew, so there's lots of familiar faces. So Rob Swan, I've already mentioned, Kevin Proctor, who's obviously familiar to any rally or rallycross fans. Andy Scott just flown in from World Rallycross at Silverstone. Obviously, he's running Mark Higgins as well in rallycross. Andy's just flown in to drive his R5 car out here. Paul Bird, that's obviously well known from both rallying and superbikes. Lots of familiar faces out here, lots of familiar teams, and it's become a regular event for British entries. For a lot of overseas entries now make it a yearly trip.
Ryan Champion, you do realise the absolute rally listenership, and I call us presenters just blokes that talk about it. You do realise all our hopes are on you, don't you? No pressure, just thought I'd mention it.
I'll do my best. I'll do my best.
Come on, Ryan Shelby, get the race face on. Come on.
It'll be on tomorrow night.
Good man.
Looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it, and it'll be a good weekend. Lots of very enthusiastic spectators. Lots of noise. Lots of action.
There you go. We will catch up with you next week at some point if you're not drunk. We will catch up and hopefully talk about what went on the events and everything else. So I always say it to you, but same time, same place next week, roughly, give or take.
Roughly speaking, I'll be around in a similar area next week.
There you go, folks. We've all been present this week. We don't just talk about it, we do it as well, as Ryan's just proved. Thank you so much for the download. You know to find all the old episodes now. It's absoluterally.co.uk, all the old episodes there. facebook.com/absoluterally, and of course Twitter, absolute_rally, where we'll be sending bits and pieces of what Ryan's up to as well, so you can keep up to date. And get involved with Rally Barbados. It'll be a cracker. See you next week, folks.
The Absolute Rally Podcast, made by us, supported by you. Help us make more episodes. Become a patron at patreon.com/absoluterally.